Today's daf is Moed Katan, daf Chaf Tes, the last daf in Maseches Moed Katan. We are holding on daf Chaf Ches Amid Aleph, though, still at the bottom of the page on Chaf Ches Amid Aleph. First thing, we're going to finish up the different stories of the deaths of different Amorayim and what happened when they met the Malach HaMaves. On Amid Beis, we're going to have the last Mishnah in the Masechta that's going to talk about the role that women would play in crying and being Mekonein at a Levaya, and when they would do that, when they wouldn't do that, depending on the calendar. And then we're going to have seven things that the women of the city of Dishchantziv would say at a funeral that were all reported by Rava. And then we're going to have a whole series of words of Nechama that were offered to Rabbi Yishmael by different Tanaim when Rabbi Yishmael's son died. So we have examples of Nechama Avelim. Gemara is then going to have contradictions in Pesukim about how Tzidkiyo and Yoshio each died. And then we're going to get into how an Avel, Chasen, and a Kohen are all Yoshev Barosh. Then the end of the Masechta on Chavtes. Today's daf, we're going to talk about the difference between when one is taking leave of a mace versus when one is taking leave of somebody who's alive, that there's a difference whether you say leich lishalom or leich bishalom, and it's going to end with a davar tov to tell us how to go mechayel el chayel, to go from strength to strength in our lives, and how tzaddikim always go from strength to strength, even in olam haba. So we are on daf chav ches amir alf, where Rava have a Yosef Kameder of Nachman about 12-13 nights before the end of the page, and again we're telling stories now of people of Amoraim and their last moments before they died. Rav Aviyasov Kameder of Nachman. Rav was sitting in front of Rav Nachman. Chazit to come in Namnim, and he saw that Rav Nachman was dozing and Rav Nachman was very ill. Amar leimalei mar delolit tsarin. So he said, "Tell him to leave me alone. Tell the Malach HaMaves that he shouldn't give me tsar." Amar leimalei mar lav adam chashavu. Aren't you an adam chashav? You could talk to the Malach HaMaves. Amar leimalei man chashavu. Man Safin Man Rakia. Who's really Chashuv? Who's he really afraid of? Who's really a tzaddik in the eyes of the Malach HaMaves? I don't have any more influence than you do. Amalei Lischazi Limar. He said, after you die, can you appear to me in a dream and let me know how everything went? Ischazile. So he appeared to him. Amalei Havle Limar Tzara. He said, did you have any tzar? Did you have suffering? Did you have pain at the time of death? Amalei Kimishchal Bin Yosem Michalva. He said, it was like as smooth as pulling a piece of hair out of milk. It just went very smoothly. It didn't hurt at all. It wasn't rough at all. The Amalei Hakadosh Baruch Hu Zilba Hu Alma Kadhavis Lo Biina Denafish Biasuse. But if Hakadosh Baruch Hu were to ever offer me to go back into this world and be like I was before, if I were to have that possibility of going back and living again, I wouldn't do it because it was so terrifying to die. Meaning the actual event didn't actually hurt. It didn't feel like it. But it was so scary. It's something I don't want to have to go through again. I'd rather just stay where I am rather than go back into the Olam HaMaisa. Rabbi Lazar have a kach l'truma. Rabbi Lazar was eating truma. Ischazilei, and the Malach HaMaves appeared to him. Amalei truma kach il nevelav kodesh ikri. He says, I'm eating truma. Isn't that called kodesh? Maybe you shouldn't take me while I'm doing a mitzvah like this. Chalfalei shaita. So the Malach HaMaves said, okay, I'll catch you later. And he had to come back a different time because he was eating truma. Rav Sheshes ischazilei b'shuka. Rav Sheshes saw the Malach HaMaves coming to get him out in the market. Amalei b'shuka kebehema. He says, really, in a shuk, like a behema? That's where I'm going to drop dead? At least let me have some dignity. So Isa l'gabi besa. He went to his house and he got him at home rather than getting him in the shuk. Rav Ashi is chazile b'shuka. Rav Ashi also saw the Malach HaMaves in the shuk. Amalei itrochli tlasin yamin v'ahadri l'talmudai. He said, I need 30 more days. I need to review my learning for 30 days and then you can come back for me. Tamrisu ashri misha balakan. Because they say that fortunate is one who comes to the Olam HaEmes v'talmud biyado. This is the Gemara at the beginning of Maseches Basra and Daf Yud, where the Gemara says that one of the Amoraim was dying and he was very ill and he was hovering back and forth between this world and the next world, and his father said to him, what did you see when you were on the other side? So he said several things. One of the things he said is, I saw that al yonim lamata v'tachtonim lamala. I saw that people who are very much respected in this world are not respected at all in the next world. And I saw the reverse. People who are not respected in this world are very much respected in the next world. But they were saying that Ashrei Misha Balakan that fortunate is one who comes here and he has his learning in his hand. So the Pashup Shad is that Talmud Abiyadu is an expression. It means he knows his learning, that he's able to speak in learning, that he that it's not just something that passes through him, but something that he actually retains. The Marsha over there says, yeah, but that why does the Dafka use the expression Talmud Abiyadu in his hand? Because he says a good skula to be able to remember your learning is by writing things down. If a person writes, people who write Chidushei Torah, people who write Divrei Torah, often will remember the Torah that they've written much more than any of the other Torah that they learned. So writing is a good way to achieve Talmudo Biyodo. That's our Daf Yomi coincidence for the Sefer Arat Safon. That the articles that we write in Torah, that's something that we're going to really have Biyodo. Biyom Tlasin Asa. So on the 30th day, the Malach HaMaves comes back. Amalei Maikulei Hai. So he says, wait a second. You're supposed to give me to day 31. I need 30 days to chazen my learning. So you can't come back on day 30. So he answered, Kadachka Ragli Debar Nasan. Listen, it's time for the next Rosh Hashiva to take charge. Vein Malchus Nagaz B'chavirta Afilukum Lo Nima. It's already Bar Nasan's turn. And we can have an overlap in leadership. So as long as you stick around, you're getting in the way of the next person who's supposed to be a person of authority and leadership for the Jewish people. So it's important that you make room for the next generation. Rav Chista lov yachle the lov shasik pume migirsa. When it came time for Rav Chista to die, the Malach HaMavis was unable to affect him, was unable to do anything to him, because Rav Chista wouldn't stop learning the entire time, and the Malach HaMavis can't get him when he's so osik b'chayim, when he's osik in the Torah's chayim, when he's learning. Salik yasav ba'arza debei rav. So he went to the cedar trees. Paka Arza and he cracked the cedar tree, so it made a loud noise. Vishasak Rav Chista was distracted for a second, was quiet for a moment. Viyachalei, and that's when the Malach HaMavis was able to get him. This Gemara appears in Maseches Matlas as well, where many of the commentators point out that this is a trick that the Malach HaMavis had practiced once before. The Gemara Maseches Shabbos tells us that it was the trick that he used on David HaMelech. The David HaMelech, knowing what day of the week he was going to die, when it was lo pasuk pume migirsa, didn't stop learning the entire time, and that way the Malach HaMavis was unable to get him. Rabbi Chia lov matzi the mikra v'lei. Rabbi Chia, the Malach HaMavis wasn't able to get him. Yom echad idmi leka'anya asya tarif abava. Probably he wasn't able to get him for the same reason. Rabbi Chia was always learning. One day the Malach HaMavis comes to the doorway and appears like a poor person at the doorstep. Amalei afikli Rifta afikule. So he said, can you give me some bread? So he gave him some bread. He brought him out some bread. Amalev lav kamarachi mara anya ahu gabra amai lo kamarachi mar. I see you have such rachmanis on a poor person. You can't have rachmanis on me, on the Malach HaMavis. He now revealed his identity. You can't have rachmanis on the Malach HaMavis. You're such a nice guy. Why aren't you nice to me? Galile. So achvile shutu denora amtile nafshe. So he revealed his identity and he showed him a big pillar of fire, and then he took his soul, then he took his life, because it was time to have Rachmanos on the Malach HaMavis. Okay, last Mishnah of the Masechta. Nashim b'moed ma'anos avalo metapchos. Women on Chol HaMoed are allowed to be ma'anos. It's a type of crying out and calling out as a sign of mourning, but they're not allowed to be metapchos, not allowed to clap their hands together in mourning on Chol HaMoed. Rabbi Shmuel Omer smuchos l'mita metapchos. Those that are close to the actual coffin can be metapchos. Rosh Chodesh mechaniko b'purim ma'anos u'metapchos. But Rosh Chodesh chaniko b'purim, they're ma'anos and metapchos. Vezeh lo mekonenos. But on all these days, they're definitely not mekonen. Mekonen is a different type of calling out. The Mishnah is about to explain. Nikvar ames, once the dead person is buried, lo ma'anos v'lo metapchos. Then they're not ma'anos or metapchos anymore. Either they don't cry out, and they don't clap their hands together. Ezeh inoy. What kind of crying out is inoy? Shekulan onos ka'achas. It's where they all cry out in unison. Kina sha'achas medaberes v'kulan onos achareha. A kina is where there's one leader and then everyone responds. One person says something, one woman says something, and everyone cries out in response. Shenemar v'lamadnu b'noseichem nehi v'isha re'usa kina. That a woman teaches her friend kina, meaning there needs to be a woman and her friend in order to achieve kina. Avala asulava hu omer bila mavas lanetzach mocha Hashem elkim dima meal kol panim. But lasulava, there's not going to be mavas anymore. There's not going to be death. Hashem is going to wipe away the tears from all faces. It's all going to be good. We're not going to suffer from death anymore. And that's how we conclude the Masechta. So Tosfos writes, why is this the conclusion? What does bila mavas lanetzach have to do with anything? We're talking about avelus. We're talking about when there is mavas. Tosfos points out, kidei l'sayim b'davar atov. We're trying to finish off with the davar. Not just what does it have to do with it. It's not a halacha. Why is it in the Mishnah? The Mishnah is telling us, Mishnah generally teaches us halachas. Why would just stam quote a pasuk? So that's what the Gemara says, that we're not stam quoting the pasuk in Yeshayahu. Tosfos says it's in order to be mesayim b'davar atov. So you would think, okay, good, to be mesayim maseches moed katan with a positive line. Says Tosfos, no, not just maseches moed katan. Mishum to moed katan who sof seder moed. He says moed katan is the last masechta in seder moed. And that's what the Rimi Orleans explains. We start Seder Nashim with Maseches Yevamos, which is Tesvav Nashim, where we talk about the 15 women or Potros Tsaroseyan, Avagav Daskul Parnusolamaskul, even though generally speaking, you try not to start with something so unfortunate as a person dying and his wife needing Yibum, Kedamrin Vieshnochlin, Vitirits, the Sumchen, Paranus, the Moidkata, Nitzel Paranus, the Yevamos, the Samchinan, Paranusa, Paranusa, Menachemta, Lenachemta. And the Rimi Orleans explains that the reason we start Yevamos that way is because it comes on the heels of Moidkatan, and Moidkatan ends with Avelus, so we begin Yevamos with Avelus, because Moed Katan is the last Masechta in Seder Nashim. It's obviously not the way we have it. We still have Chagiga to go. We're not making a Siyum right now on Seder Nashim. We still have 4 more weeks or so till we make a Siyum on Seder Nashim. But Tosfos says that's the correct order of Rabbi Danasi. I didn't get a chance to take a look at the Rambam, see how the Rambam Pirush HaMishnayos says. The Rambam Nachtam to Pirush HaMishnayos explains the Seder of why every Masechta is where it is. I didn't see whether the Rambam has Moed Katan after Chagig or Chagig after Moed Katan. I'm not sure. I didn't get a chance to look. Now, there are two kashas that are asked by Achronim in exact reverse of each other. There is a machlokas whether women are chayiv in Simchas Yom Tov, whether there's any mitzvah Simchas Yom Tov for women, or it's just a man's chayiv to be misameach ishto. Rabbi Kiva Eger in his tshuvas, in the Hashmatos to his tshuvas, says, according to Abaye, that an isha is not chayiv besimcha, and that it's purely a chayiv on the husband to be misameach her, so it should be mutter for her to have hesped and tainus on Cholam Moed. So the Makar Baruch asks, wait a second, the Mishnah over here says women are not allowed to be metapeach b'moed, that there ain't metapchas b'moed. But according to Abaye, Nisha is not chayiv in simcha anyway, it's only bala mesamcha. Why is it in metapchas? Why is it that they have to scale back the hesped, they have to scale back how they react to a misa? They don't have a mitzvah of simcha anyway. So he suggests that maybe the reason for the isra of isha to be metapeach b'moed is because that's going to shter everyone else's simcha. For her, ain't a chinami. It's not for her tzar, but it creates a mood of tzar all around. So the other people who are chayiv in simcha are going to be affected by it. And Ramoshe, Negros Moshe, Chaim Chelik Alv Simchav Samachay, quotes that he heard in the name of Eza Svarim, of certain Svarim, that an onein is allowed to be maspid on chal moed, because an onein isn't chayiv in simcha, since an onein is potter from all mitzvos. And he says that's a toos, that's a mistake. The Yisra of Hesped is not a function of simcha, he says, because Rosh Chodesh and Chanukah, there's no chi of simcha, and nevertheless, we still have Hesped, we still don't have Hesped, rather, even though there's no chi of simcha. So Chol HaMoed is no worse than them, that there's an Yisra of Hesped, even though, even without any sort of mitzvah of simcha. It's mitzad Yisra that you're not allowed to, that you're not allowed to be maspid on that day. And an onein is chayiv in Surim, and only just is potter from mitzvah, so a mitzvah simcha he doesn't have to do, but an iser hesped is an iser that the onin would still have. But anyway, that's one discussion that they have, that if a woman is not chayiv in simcha, why the limitations over here? In the almost the exact reverse, the Hamik She'ela raises the opposite question. How are women allowed to be ma'anos on Moed if they're mevatel mitzvah Simchas Yom Tov? Meaning, if you assume that women are chayiv in the mitzvah Simchas Yom Tov, so how are they, how do we asked before, if they're not chayiv, how come they can't be metapchos? But if they are chayiv, why are they allowed to be ma'anos? What happened to the Simchas Yom Tov? So based on that, the Amik Shela writes that the chayiv of Simchas Yom Tov is not all day on Yom Tov. B'sha'achas, it's enough. as long as they experience simcha for a moment during the day, that's enough to be mekayim the mitzvah of simchas yom tov, and therefore they can still be ma'anos, because they're not going to be ma'anos all day long, so they could do both. They could do simcha and be ma'anos at the same time. Now pashtus is, it's true, one does not have to eat meat all day long on yantif. One doesn't have to drink wine all day long on yantif. The maisim mitzvah of simcha one doesn't have to all day long. But pashtus is the kiyum shebelev is something that is all day long. That anything that stirs the simcha, that takes away that kiyum shebelev of simcha, that sense of simcha that a person has, l'charu would be a bitul mitzvah of simcha. So it's quite a chiddush that Amik Sheila says that since you only eat meat for a meal, you only have simcha for a moment during the day, so you could still be ma'anos at other points during the day, because then it's not going to contradict, it's not going to conflict with the simcha. It may not conflict with the ma'isa mitzvah of simcha, but it's certainly going to conflict with the kiyum shebelev. Very difficult comment of the Hamek Sheila on that line. In the Sefer Tiferes Yisrael says how is it that women are allowed to be ma'anos? Whatever happened to kol bi'isha erva? That it's kol isha. If a woman is crying out, a woman is calling out. Even b'shas hesped, the Gemara says in Masech Sukkah, the Mishnah is at the end of Sukkah, that we're concerned about these things, that we separate men and women even b'shas hesped. So we should be worried about kol bi'isha erva. So he says no. The Sefer Tiferes Yisrael quotes from the Yachin Vos Mishnayis, in the bottom of the Yachin Vos Mishnayis. So he quotes in the name of his father that when a mace muta lefanav, you don't have to worry about hirhur. When there's a dead body right there, and this is a time of a levaya, you don't have to worry about hirhurim. That's the Gemara Brachos says in Dafhei that if the Yetzer Hara is miskaber alav, one of the tricks to defeat the Yetzer Hara is to be mazkir yom hamisa. Remember the day of death. Well, over here, your mamish right there, you're at somebody's yom hamisa, so you don't have to worry about hirhurim, and therefore we're not worried about kol bi'isha erva. That's what he suggests. But he points out that in the end of Maseches Kiddushin, that when it talks about yichud and afpeim beis, the yichud sugis and kiddushin, it says we're choshish for znus, even b'levayas hameis, that even to go bury someone outside of town, we don't let people go be yichud together to go bury someone outside of town. So apparently we are choshish for those things. So he says maybe over there the chashash is after the kvura, that it's after the kvura that something is going to happen, because man that it's mace lefanav, we're not choshesh for znus. And of course, the other possibility is, who said they're ma'anos in front of men? Maybe they're just ma'anos in a group of women. We separate the men and the women at the time of hesped. The Gemara says at the end of Sukkah. So maybe only the women hear the ma'anos. Or who says they're singing anything? May the kol bi'isha erva, to say that it applies to a speaking voice is a pretty significant chumrah. The Satmar Rebbe in his tshuva says it has to be that women are asked to give a hesped because of kol bi'isha erva. The fact that the Mishnah says women are makoronos and ma'anos, that must be separate only amongst women, not in front of men. Pashtus says it is in front of men. Right? That's what we said before when Rabbi Kivager with the question of the Makar Baruch. What about the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov? If women aren't chayv in Simchas Yom Tov, why do we limit what they do? And the answer was that we limit what they do because it's going to affect everybody else. Who's everybody else? The men. Apparently, the men are there when they're doing this. Okay, says the Gemara now. My Amran, what do they say when they're crying out? What are the women cry out to increase the sense of mourning? Amarav vayla azla vayla chavila. Woe on the journey that this person is taking. Woe unto the mashkon that was taken from us. Amar Rav. Now Rav is going to have a series of seven different statements, seven different ways that the women of a certain community would be maspid. So Amar Rav, or would be ma'anos rather. The nashi dishachnotziv amran hachi. They would say the following. Vayla azla Vayla Chavila, just like we just said. V'amar Rava, and Rava also said, Nashi Tishachnatzav Amran, Good Garma Mikacha, V'namti Mayala Antiche, that when you pull food from a person's mouth, his urine becomes very hot. V'amar Rava, Nashi Tishachnatzav Amran, meaning that when something happens in one part of the body, the whole body is affected. So that's what he was saying, that's what probably their point was, that when something happens to one part of Klal Yisrael, and someone dies, it affects all of Klal Yisrael. V'amar Rava, Nashi Tishachnatzav Shachan Siva Amrin, they would also say Atov Chisu Turi Dvarami Ubar Rav Ravihu. And the Marav Ranchburg over here, because Rashi doesn't say much over here, the Marav Ranchburg explains it means that the mountains should be enveloped in darkness because a Ben Gedolim and a Ben Gavoim died. Someone who was a significant person died. Va'amar Rava Nashi De Shachan Siva Amrin Shiuli Tzolad Milsa Levar Chorin De Shlimu Zavde. That it's like getting a new expensive garment when a person who was poor and owed money dies. It's like a sense of freedom when they finally die. That it's like it's better for them than getting a new garment. They would also say right v'nafal amavra v'yazufta yazif. And again, Rav Ranchburg explains this means that a merchant is always busy running his whole life, and now he falls and he dies without any money. That for someone who died poor, they would say Nebuch, the guy was in the rat race his whole life, running around like a chicken without a head his whole life, and he has, at the end of the day, we have to borrow money in order to even pay for his funeral. Vamarava, Nashi to Shachan Savamran, they would also say, Achna Tigri as Vazgi Mivdiku, which again, Marav Ranchburg over here explains that the merchants that we look at their wealth everyone should have rachmanis on them, because you look at their wealth, they don't have anything after a whole life of work. That everyone dies and no one is free from it. Tanya Hayre Meir Omer Tov Lechus Al Beis Avel Milechus Al Beis Mishta Ad Va'Chai Yitin Al Libo. Rameir says that Rameir quoted the pasuk that it's better to go to a Beis Avel than to go to a Beis Mishta, and because the Chai Yitin Al Libo. So says Rameir, what does that mean? Dvarim Shel Misa. What is it that the Chai Yitin Al Libo? What is it that the surviving person pays attention to and focuses on? That's Dvarim Shel Misa. It's about the Misa. The Yaspid Yaspidune. That someone who is saying a Hespid now, one day they'll be Mas. Him. The Yikbar Yakbarune, someone who's burying someone else right now, one day they'll bury him. The Yitan Yatanune, someone who's carrying someone else out to their Kavura, will one day himself be carried to his own Kavura. The Yadul Yadlune, someone who's lifting up in Hesped for someone who's crying out in Hesped for someone else, they'll do the same for him. Vikadarmi Delo Yadul Yadlune, some say no, for someone who's not arrogant in the way that he deals with the mace and the Hesped, they'll one day be Masvin him. Dichsiv Kitov. So that's the Hachai Yitin Alibo. In Maseches Ksuvus, the Ein Yaakov writes that it's Davka Rameir who has to explain the pasuk in this way. Because Rameir, without Rameir, we could have said Hachai Yitin Alibo means that someone who dies, Hachai Yitin Alibo means that someone who dies mitochet, he dies because of an Avera he did. And Hachai Yitin Alibo means focus on what Avera that person did, so you should learn your lesson not to do that Avera, and then you won't die like this person died from that Avera. But Rameir holds in Maseches Brachos Daf Yud Zayin that Sof Adam Lamos Sof Behem L'Shchita Hakolamisa. Everyone is going to die one day. It makes no difference whether you do Averus or not. Even if a person doesn't do Averus, they could die below Chait. That it's very possible for a person to die below Chait. So Rameir L'Shitasa says, so Chai Yitin Alibo can't just mean look at the Avera this guy died from. There might not have been an Avera that he died from. So rather, Chai Yitin Alibo must mean just pay attention to the whole process and realize that this is the way life goes. When Rabbi Yishmael's sons died, the Dalad Zakenim, four Zakenim, went to go be Menachem him. Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, and Rabbi Akiva. That was the group. Amalim Rabbi Tarfon said to the rest of the group before they went in, you should know this Rabbi Yishmael is quite a Chacham. He's a Baki in all Agados, so you got to say something good. If you can be Menachem him with some nice insight, it better be really nice. No one should step on each other's toes when you're talking. One person talk at a time. Rabbi Akiva says, I want to back cleanup. I want to go last in terms of being Menachem Rabbi Shmuel. Pasach Rabbi Shmuel va'amar. Rabbi Shmuel was the first one to speak, because that's the halacha. In a Beis Avel, the Avel has to be the first one to speak. No one else is allowed to say anything. We're going to see later in the daf, no one else is allowed to say anything until everyone else speaks. So therefore, Rabbi Shmuel was the first one to speak va'amar, and he said, Rabu avonosav tachvu avelav me'averos for so many, that's why I've had avelos one after the other, hitriach rabosav parishon of shnia, and now I'm being matriach me'rebeim to come visit me all these these four holy Tanaim that I have to go through the Tircha of coming to visit me. It's all my fault. So now Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Tarfon is the first to respond, and Rabbi Tarfon says, "V'achechem kol beis Yisrael yifkuas ha-strefa." That achechem kol beis Yisrael will cry over the strefa. V'alodvarim kal v'chomer. What are we talking about? What strefa? The burning of Nadav and Avihu, the death of Nadav and Avihu. So you have a simple kal v'chomer. Uman Nadav Avihu shlo asal mitzvah achas. Nadav and Avihu only did a single mitzvah. Dichsu ve'yakrivu b'nei Aaron asadam elav. The pasuk describes the mitzvah they did. Kach. Nevertheless, this is the kind of the hesped that they get, that everyone cries out for them. All the more so we should be crying over the children of Rabbi Shmuel, who are all the greater. Now, it's a little bit shocking to say that Nadav and Avihu were only osa mitzvah achas. They only did, what do you mean? They were kemosh of Aaron. They were great tzaddikim. So how could we say that they only did a mitzvah achas? The Gemara is about to say the same thing about Tzidkio. By Tzidkio, Tosa says, yeah, there's only one mitzvah that's reported in the Navi that Tzidkio did, but in Achinami, he was a tzaddik gamur. L'chara, you could say the same thing about Nadav and Avihu. We don't know that much about what Nadav and Avihu did, so but it could be there with tzaddikim gemurim. It's just not that much reported about them in Chumash. Rashi and Nein Yaakov says, no, the loss of mitzvahs biyom misa, on the day that they died, they only did one mitzvah that we know of. Then Rabbi Yosef Glili, Rabbi Yosef Glili then offered divrei nechama. V'sabdu lo kol Yisrael v'kavru oso, v'lo dvarim kal v'chomer, uma Avia ben Yeravim, the son of Yeravim ben Nevel, shlo osa el davar echatov, who only did one good thing. Dichsir ve'yanim tzabod davar tov, kach, and nevertheless, they still, the whole Klal Yisrael gave a hesped, banav shlo v'yishmol, alachas kama v'kama, the children of Yishmol, all the more so, all of Klal Yisrael should be maspid. My davar tov, what was the one good thing he did? Rebbe Zeir, Rebbe Chinin bar Papa, charam r'shabit on the shmart of al regel, one says that he let down, he abandoned his guard duty, where Yeravim had everyone standing guard to make sure that no one was all the regel to go to Yerushalayim, so he abandoned his own guard duty to go to be all the regel himself. That he disbanded the whole system. Yeravim set up all these guards to make sure that no one goes to be all the regel, and he got rid of that whole system. He didn't prevent people from being all the regel. So that was a great mitzvah. Then Rabbi Elazar ben Azari, then it was Rabbi Elazar ben Azari's turn, and he said, "B'shalom tamos u'b'mesrafas avsecham lachem arishonim asharoyil lefenecha kein yisfuchulach." This is talking about Tzidkio. Mat Tzidkio melech Yudah shlo asal mitzvah achas. Sheli Yirmiyom enatit kach. If Tzidkio melech only did one great mitzvah, and that was pulling Yirmiyo out of the mud. Yirmiyo was thrown into the mud and cement. He couldn't move, and Tzidkio got him out of it. Bonav shel Rabbi Shmuel alachas kama kama. So the children of Rabbi Shmuel are greater tzaddikim than Tzidkio, all the more so. So again, Tosfos points out Tzidkio was a tzaddik gamur, but b'mikra. In the Pesukim themselves, we don't find that he did anything more than this, than saving Yirmiyahu. What was Yirmiyahu doing in a pit of mud? What was Yirmiyahu doing there? Yirmiyahu was not very popular amongst the Jewish people, and particularly the warriors and the soldiers, because they wanted to fight a war to protect Yerushalayim, and he was telling them it's all over. He was the prophet of doom. He was the prophet of Churban. So it was terrible for morale to have the prophet going around telling everyone that it's over, we're going to lose. So they didn't like that very much. So when people don't like, as Jewish history is full of people not liking what Nevi'im have to say, so punishing the Navi, punishing the messenger, instead of actually taking the message of what he has to say. Then Rabbi Akiva Vamar. Then it was Rabbi Akiva. He went last, like he requested. So he said, "Bayomahu yigdal misvod biyushlaim kemisvod adadrimon bebikas megido." It's describing the hesped las alavas machlokas in the Gemara and Sukkah. Whose hesped it is that's las alava? Whether it's the hesped on Mashiach ben Yosef who's going to be killed, or it's the hesped on the Yetzer Hara. But either way, there's a hesped. Vamar of Yosef ilmoli targumi daikra lovi adana mykamer. Rabbi Yosef says, had it not been for the targum of this pasuk, we wouldn't know what the pasuk is referring to. Rav Yosef, of course, was the expert in Targum, because Rav Yosef went blind at the end of his life, and someone and Dvarim Shebichsav Yata Rashi Lomram Balpeh, you're not allowed to say Psukim by heart, so he had to become an expert in Targum, because Targum he's allowed to say Balpeh without reading it. So Rav Yosef became this great expert in Targum, and he says, you see how badly we need Targum? We wouldn't know what this pasuk means without Targum. V'inahu yaske mispadu b'yushlaim ki mispadu da'ach baramri dekatal yaseh adadrimon batavrimon o kemispid yoshio Varamon the Katal Yasei Paruch Hagira Vibikas Megido. It's comparing the Hesped Lasalavo to the Hesped of Achav and the Hesped of Yoshio. Velodvarm Kavachomer Uma Achav Melch Yisrael Shalosal Dovarechatov. Achav only did one good thing in his life. Tuchseva Melch Hayamam Merkav Nocha Haram Kach. And nevertheless, we're describing the Hesped Lasalavo in terms of his Hesped, that it must have been such an impressive Hesped. But of Shavi Shmuel Achz Kamel Kamel. So the children of Rabbi Shmuel, all the more so. What was the good thing that Achav did? That after he was wounded in battle, he valiantly continued to fight and made himself appear that he was not wounded, so as not to ruin the morale of all the soldiers. So he continued to lead the battle. Amalei Rava L'Rabba Bar Mari. K'siv v'Tzidkio. It says by Tzidkio, B'Shalom Tomos. U'K'siv v'Seini Tzidkio Iver. On the one hand, it says that he died in peace, and the other hand, it says they blinded him. He went through terrible Yisurin by his death. Nebuchadnezzar died before him, so in a certain sense he died in peace. It's like the expression, now I can die in peace, when something good, even though his life was miserable, something good happened that he got to see Nebuchadnezzar die, so he was able to die in peace. A similar steer, it says that they were shooting at Yoshio, and what does that mean? That they had shot spears at him and arrows. That they made his body like a sieve. There were so many holes in his body. So which is it? Was he nesaf al kibrosecha b'shalom? That he goes to the kever b'shalom, or was his body like a sieve? In a certain sense, he was b'shalom, because at least the Beis HaMikdash was not destroyed during his lifetime, and that gave him a great sense of shalom, that the Beis HaMikdash wasn't destroyed. Just going back a little bit, we mentioned before that achai yitin alibos, that a person at a funeral should realize that if you are maspid someone else properly, then they'll be maspid you properly. You bury someone else, then they'll bury. So a person should realize that there is a tashlum gemul for all that he does. So the hafla'a raises the question. Ksuba stafayin beis. Yaakov Vinu says to his children, "Asisim madi chesed ve'emes." That Yaakov says to Yosef, "Asisim madi chesed ve'emes." And Rashi on the spot says, "Why is it chesed ve'emes? Because the only true, the only chesed shel emes is chesed shel smel meisim she'eno mitzapel letashlum gemul." Because you don't hope for any payback. What do you mean? Hachayitin alibo. We said the drasha over here is that the whole thing is that you're hoping for a payback, to get paid back in kind. That when you give proper cover to mace, so that when a person's own end comes, they'll also pay him back in kind. So the hafla suggests that yeah, but the person who gives you the tashlum gemul is not the person who you're doing the chesed with. Normally, do chesed, you expect that person to pay you back in kind. Over here, that's why va'asisa imadi chesed ve'emes. That klape me, this is chesed ve'emes. It's a chesed shel emes. If you do as far as I'm concerned, but einachinami, as far as you're concerned, it's not really a chesed shel emes, because as far as Yosef is concerned, he's going to get rewarded for this. Further in the Gemara, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Ein Menachem Rashon Lomar Davar Ad Sheyiftach Avel. None of the Menachemim are allowed to say anything until the Avel speaks first. The reason is the Levush writes, because when as long as the Avel hasn't spoken, we don't know that he's Bitzar, and the Mechayev of Nechama, of giving Nechama, is if he expresses Tzar. So it's only the Tzar of the Avel that's Mechayev everyone else to be Menachem, so he needs to show that Tzar in order for everyone else to be Menachem. And the Aruch HaShulchan suggests it's because the nichum is to promote a sense of tzedek hadin and to be menachim him from his sadness. So first the avil has to be matzik the din. He has to be pesach tchila to do tzedek hadin, and then we could go and be menachim him. But the Prisha points out on the bottom of the Torah that nevertheless, you, even if the avil didn't say a word, you're allowed to say hamakom yinachim, because, and this is important, because hamakom yinachim is not actual nechama; it's just a bracha. The actual mitzvah of nichum avilim is to say things to the Avel that are actually going to provide some sense of Nechama. But if you're not going to say anything that provides some sense of Nechama, Hamakom Yinachim is simply a bracha. Rav Moshe makes a big deal about this in a tshuva, and Archaim Chilakei Simon Chav, he says the mitzvah of Nichum Avelim is not just to say Hamakom Yinachim, it's to provide words of chizik, it's to give him something, to give him some sense of comfort by talking about the Nifter and what and how they were mechazik and what type of lasting impression they made. And his raya is from our sugya that Einam Menachem Rishayim Lomer Davar Ad Shiv Tachavel, but everyone says but everyone says Amakom Menachem even Ad Shlo Yiv Tachavel, because it must be that that's not called saying anything when you say Amakom Menachem. That's just the bracha at the end. What about the fact that at the cemetery when they're Omid Bishura, all they say is Amakom Menachem, they don't say anything else? He says because they're in the Omid Bishura, that's just a shell of the mitzvah of Nichum Avelim. It's not the real mitzvah of Nichum Avelim. Someone who's Omid Bishura at the cemetery still should do the mitzvah of Nichum Avelim, should still go visit the Avel in the house and actually do Nichum Avelim. It's just everyone's tired and they're exhausted and they just buried someone and they're out in the cemetery, so we don't sit there doing a proper Nechama, we just say Amakom Menachem. But that is not really the mitzvah. The mitzvah is really to say something, provided the Avel speaks first. So sometimes it's a mitzvah of Nechama just to be there. It's very comforting to know that people are there, but the Nechama is not in the words of Amakom Menachem. That's a bracha. It's an appropriate bracha. The Nechama is in being there and saying things and being mechazek. Fine. Shenamar, the Pasuk says, how do we know that he has to speak first? Pasuk says, Achrei kein pasach Iyov es pihu, that Iyov spoke, Vahadar vayan alifas atimni. And then Alifa spoke only after Iyov spoke. Amar Rabbi Yovel, minayin lo avel shemes v'brosh. How do we know that an avel sits at the head? Shenamar evcher darkum ve'eshev rosh, ve'eshkon kemelech begedud kasher avelim yinachem. So yinachem, achrini mashma, yinachem sounds like he's being menachem other people. Amar Nachman Yitzchak, yinachem ksiv, not yinachem with a shva, yinachem with a chirik, and therefore means he's being comforted. Mar zutra amar mehacha, v'sar mizrach sruchim, mar zach, we assume refers to an Avel, that he's bitter, nasasar lesruchim, and he becomes the leader of those who are suffering. So he sits barosh. Amar Rabbi Chaim bar Chanina, minayin lechasson shemesu barosh. How do we know the chasson sits at the head of the table? Shenamar kechasson yichahin pe'er, that a chasson is like a kohen. Ma kohen barosh, av chasson barosh. Just like a kohen sits barosh, so too a chasson sits barosh. Great, but kohen gufei minalan. How do we know that a kohen is supposed to sit barosh? Tetan debei Rabbi Shmuel, v'kidashto lechol davar shebeklush, such a high percentage of Kohanim in this year. I always feel so popular when I read these Gemaras. That the Kiddushto, that it's the Kol Davar Shebekdusha, that we should that we give a Kohen Liftoach Rishon to be the first one to open up with anything good. Ulevarich Rishon to say the first bracha. Litol Mani Yaf Rishon to take the best portion first. Magen Avram writes doesn't apply to a Kohen Katan. The mitzvah of the Kiddushto doesn't apply to a child Kohen because the pasuk says Ki es lechem el kav hu makriv. That why is it that you give the Kohen Barosh? Because it's lechem el kav hu makriv that he's able to do avoda and a Katan. Pasul la avoda. Prima gadim isn't sure. What about a coin balmum? Is there still a mitzvah v'kidashto on a coin balmum? He's also pasul to the avoda. So the Ksav Sofer in Gittin and Tesson Beis says that no, a coin balmum does have a mitzvah v'kidashto because a coin balmum is still very different than a katan. He's able to eat kachim, he's able to minoseis kapav, he's able to eat kashal opinion aben, meaning there are a lot of coin related things that a coin balmum could do. So there's definitely a mitzvah v'kidashto, says the Ksav Sofer, for a coin balmum, even though there's no such mitzvah for a kohen katan. Amar Rabbi Chanina, kashi yitzias min neshama min aguf kitzipuri b'fi aveshet. Rabbi Yochanan Amar kipturi b'fi veshet. That the yitzias neshama from the guf is like a very hard rope full of knots that they would use to tie boats together. Meaning it's something very tough and it doesn't go smoothly. Yitzias neshama min aguf is a traumatic experience. Marsha points out that obviously we're not talking about everybody because we started today's shir by talking about how yitzias neshama was like pulling a piece of hair out of milk. It depends who it is. If it's someone who's a tzaddik, it's not a tzar gadol. If it's someone who's not a tzaddik, then it's a greater tzar. The Michtam Elior of Dessler explains that it's very logical that one would assume this way, that a tzaddik, his whole life is all about ruchnius. So when the neshama leaves the guf, the neshama wasn't so connected to the guf in the first place, so it shouldn't hurt the neshama so badly to be removed from the guf because it wasn't so really connected to the guf even while the person was alive. But a rasha is so connected to his guf, he's so focused on his guf, he's so focused on his physical well-being, that when the neshama has to leave the guf, it's pulling apart two things that are so intertwined, that are so connected to each other, that it's obviously going to be very challenging and it's going to hurt a lot when you pull such a neshama from the guf that it's so connected to. V'amar Rabbi Levi bar Chisa, hanifter min ha-meis lo yomar lo leich l'shalom. When one takes leave of a meis, he does not say leich l'shalom, ela leich b'shalom. Rather, he says leich b'shalom. Hanifter min ha-chai lo yomar lo leich bishalom elo leich lishalom. When someone takes leave of a living person, he doesn't say leich bishalom, rather you should say leich lishalom. What's the difference? Leich bishalom, lishalom. The Ritva explains, someone who's going to a certain place, he needs a tefillah that he should find shalom in the place he's going to. From here, he's already left b'shalom, otherwise he wouldn't have left. When he got all his affairs in order over here, he leaves, but the key bracha a person needs when he's traveling somewhere, when he's moving somewhere, is that he should find shalom to the place that he goes. So we say, leich lishalom, that you should find over there, you should find shalom, not bishalom, which sounds like bizman alichaso, but when he gets there, that he's not going to find shalom. Whereas someone who's nifter min ames, it's the opposite, that he needs to be, the key for someone who's dying is that he should leave here bishalom, because if he's leaving here bishalom, then when where he's going is for sure going to be bishalom. So the key for him is that everything should be in order, that everything should have been proper for him down here, and then he's going to be bishalom, and then it's a guarantee that it's also going to be lishalom. But the ikar bracha is that he should be bishalom over here. That's how the Ritva explains. Marsha explains, leich bishalom sounds like that it's going on the halicha, that the halicha itself should be bishalom. But leich lishalom sounds like it should be shalom in the place where he's going to get to. So a mace who doesn't have... he doesn't have any rutzon, any desires, anything in the kever, we say leich bishalom, that the alicha to the kever should be bishalom, and that it shouldn't take long, and that it should go properly, and that it should go smoothly. But someone who's living where he's going to somewhere that he wants to go, we say leich lishalom. There's different explanations as to what the difference between bishalom and lishalom. The third explanation, the Birchas Rosh in Maseches Brachos, explains that for a mace you don't say leich lishalom because it sounds like he still requires more yisurim in order to get shalom, whereas bishalom is that it's something right now. So by mace you'll say leich bishalom because you're saying that right now it should already be bishalom, whereas leich lishalom sounds like you still have a road till you get to the shalom, which sounds like you would have to suffer yisurim. How do we know this though? Anifter min a mace lo yomer lo leich lishalom el leich bishalom. How do I know that when you take leave of a dead person, you don't say lishalom, you say bishalom. Shnemar v'ata tavol avosecha bishalom. Hanifter minachai lo yomer lo leich bishalom el leich lishalom. How do I know that when one takes leave of a living person, you don't say bishalom, you say lishalom? Shari David shamar lav shalom leich bishalom. And what happened to Avshalom? Halach v'nitla. He went and was hanged. So it didn't work out so well when David said to Avshalom, leich bishalom. Yisro shamar l'moshe, leich lishalom, halach v'tzliach. But Yisro said to Moshe Rabbeinu, leich lishalom, and he was matzliach. Ben Yoyada says, David HaMelech didn't know the proper derech eretz, how to take leave of someone who's alive, that he shouldn't drop dead. How did David HaMelech get it so wrong? He says, no, David HaMelech clearly meant to say it right. He meant to say leich lishalom, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mata esfasav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused him to stumble in his words, and he said it wrong, and that's what happened to Avshalom. That's how we see that saying it is almost like a klala to say leich bishalom to someone who's alive. Amar Rabbi Levi, kol ha'yotzim beis ha'knesses beis ha'medrash, beis ha'medrash beis ha'knesses zochu mekal b'nei shechina. Anyone who goes from beis knesses to beis medrash, or from beis medrash to beis knesses, meaning a person who goes from learning to davening, or from davening to learning, that's the schedule, that one right after the other is going to be zochet to be mekabel p'nei shechina. Shenamer yelchu mechayel el chay yir el kim b'tzion, that he goes from one strength to the next strength. You might think, okay, nice, I got it to attend the mesachta with. So first of all, there's another line before we end the mesachta, but also this is not just an agarita. This is quoting Shulchan Aruch or chayim sim kufnun hay. After a person leaves the beis hakness, Shulchan Aruch says yelchu beis hamedrash v'yikva es lulmud, and the Mishnah Berurah says that it used to be in those times that they would have two separate places. There was a place where they would daven and the place where they would learn. Nowadays, where most of the time it's in the same place, the Batei Knesios, Baruch Hashem, have become Batei Midrashos, where we learn a lot also. There's a lot of Torah learned in the Batei Knesios, and the Batei Midrashos have tefillah in them. There's learning, there's davening the Batei Midrashos, so we could do it within a single room, where we go from one to the other, where a person goes from davening to a little Seder Limud, or the other way around, the Seder Limud to davening, and that's a kiyum of going Mechayel El Chayel. It's halacha in Shulchan Aruch that one is supposed to do that in order to be zochet to be mekabel b'nei shechina. Amar Rav Chiya Barashi Amar Rav, Talmidei Chachamim ein la menucha afilu l'olam haba. Talmidei Chachamim don't even have menucha in olam haba. Shenamar yelchu mechayel el chayel yirel kim b'tzion, that they go mechayel el chayel yirel kim b'tzion. So the Rashi explains, when we say la menucha, it doesn't sound like a bracha. No, it doesn't. Everyone wants rest. Everyone just wants some peace and quiet to have some some downtime to finally be able to rest the Olam Haba. So Rashi says when we say in the Menucha, it's l'shvach that they go Migan Eden l'Rukia, Mirukia l'Gan Eden. There's so much to see up there. It's very exciting. It's like that there's so much ruchnius to take in when they're up in Shemaim. I always thought Pashtus is, and I'm sure I think the Gra explains this way, that normally in Olam Hazeh a person is a mahalich. In Olam Haba a person is an omeid. A person can't accomplish anymore, can't grow anymore. But Talmidei Chacham don't even have menucha in Olam Haba. They're not even an omeid in Olam Haba because all the Torah that they left behind, all the hashva that they had, is still going and still accruing in Olam Hazeh. So they're still mahalchim bein ha'omdim. They're like the pasuk that said, the Navi Zechariah says. So they're still mahalchim even in Olam Haba because of all the Torah that they taught that's still being learnt and all the hashva that they had in this world that still that far outlives their time in this world. Tomorrow we will start the last Masechta in Seder Moed.